You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a mathematician about why picking a perfect March Madness bracket is nearly impossible. First, North Korea and the United States could meet after South Korean officials told President Trump that Kim Jong-un of North Korea wants to talk to him about denuclearization. President Trump says he wants that meeting to happen. Since then, the White House has said terms would need to be met before any meeting with North Korea could take place. Our next guest is here to talk about the history behind these talks and what the meeting could accomplish if it happens. Andrew Kidd is a professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, this issue of direct head-to-head talks between the leader of the United States and the leader of North Korea, this has been talked about for years and years. North Korea seems to want it. The United States doesn't. Can you talk about some of that history?
Well, North Korea has been pursuing nuclear weapons for almost 30 years now, since the late 80s, early 90s. And we have negotiated with them many times over the years. The biggest deal was in 1994 under President Clinton, when we thought we had put a cap on their program and limited it. That deal collapsed in the early 2000s under George Bush. In Bush's second term, he crafted a series of deals with his Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. Those all collapsed in one way or another, usually after a North Korean warhead test or a missile test. So we have had negotiations with the North Koreans over their missiles many times over the years, but they have always failed to actually achieve denuclearization for certain, or even any sort of lasting halt in the program.
But this idea that North Korea apparently floated of the head of state of each country, Kim Jong-un and, in this case, President Donald Trump getting together, that seems to have been something that North Korea has wanted, the direct talks, not a lower-level negotiation.
Yes, they've wanted direct talks for a long time, and it's really almost miraculous from their point of view that they got them so easily in this case. They would have loved to talk to previous American presidents because it bolsters their international standing. It makes them seem like a more legitimate country. And they're a country with deep internal problems. Their people are cut off from the rest of the world. They've gone through widespread famine and still have a lot of malnutrition in their country. So they have an appalling human rights record. They're not the kind of country, not the kind of leadership that an American president would casually agree to meet normally. So this is a very unusual development.
And White House spokespeople have made it a little less casual since then. I want to give a listen to Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders asking questions from reporters who are raising concerns about this meeting. Here's a listen.
Kim Jong-un gets his equal footing, in his view, on the world stage with the leader of the free world, and the president gets nothing.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that the president's getting nothing when we've already said, and frankly, I've said it many times since walking in here in the last 10 minutes, that the president will not have the meeting without seeing concrete steps and concrete actions take place by North Korea. So the president would actually be getting something, and frankly, the world would be getting something. If we can get to a place where North Korea is denuclearizing, that is a massive step, and it's something that will make the entire globe much safer. And even President Moon has said that this is because of the leadership of President Trump.
So just in the last few days, Andrew, we've gone from yes, the president will do this meeting to yes, the president will do this meeting if some conditions are met, some evidence of denuclearizing in North Korea. How likely do you think it is that we'll see a significant condition like that be met just in the next couple of months, really?
Essentially a zero likelihood. I think that represents people in the White House attempting to try to walk back the president's condition-free acceptance of this proposal of a meeting with the North Koreans. But it's very difficult to walk back things that the president says, especially this president, because he says whatever he likes. And so I think a lot of people would like to attach conditions to it. A lot of people would like it not to happen at all. And there may be, and it's still an open question as to whether it will happen at all. A lot of people are going to be talking to him over the next couple of months, urging him not to have such a meeting. So it's an open question. We'll see. But I think that's what that represents. I mean, the initial acceptance had no conditions whatsoever. beyond, I believe, the North Koreans offered, or at least the South Koreans say the North Koreans offered, not to actually test any missiles or warheads in the period of time between now and when the meetings take place. But that could just be because they don't have anything scheduled to test at that point, so it's not really a huge concession. I certainly don't think you're going to see anything beyond that.
Now, the White House talks about denuclearization of North Korea, and North Korea, again, via South Korea, said, yeah, that can be an issue. We'll talk about denuclearization. Do the two sides mean the same thing when they use that word?
Probably not, although, I mean, I don't think the Kim regime, I don't think Kim is dumb in the sense of not realizing what the Americans mean by it, given that we've been pretty consistent about that over the past, you know, 25 years of negotiations. We want North Korea to get rid of its nuclear weapons, to not have facilities for creating nuclear weapons, uranium enrichment, plutonium reprocessing. We want to get rid of all that stuff in a verifiable way, verified by international Atomic Energy Agency inspectors, so that they don't have nuclear weapons and can't build them anymore. And the most they've been willing to offer ever has been a freeze, that they won't make any more than they already have. And so it's interesting to see what will happen. Maybe Trump will accept that, I don't know, when he gets into negotiations. But it's very difficult for me to imagine that the North Koreans are going to offer anything more than a freeze, given that that's all they've ever agreed to for a long time, and that they view nuclear weapons as essential to their survival in confrontation with the United States and with South Korea. So it would be really unprecedented if they did agree to more than that.
Talking to Andrew Kidd, political scientist at UW-Madison, looking at the at least hypothetical meeting between President Trump and the leader of North Korea. And Andrew, let's pick up on a point you just made, how essential nuclear weapons are as seen by North Korea. They view it as a survival issue. Why would they give them up if they're a powerful deterrent from outside intervention? Is there going to be any kind of incentive that would get them to do that?
Well, the big incentive would have to be some kind of either peace treaty or possibly the withdrawal of American troops from South Korea, some sort of ending of the United States military relationship with South Korea. We could do that, certainly, and I'm sure the North Koreans would love for that to happen. And the North Koreans might agree to something in exchange for that, but it's even that, it's I rather suspect that they would find a way to cheat on that, given their previous behavior.
Well, let's bring South Korea in at that point, because they might view the American troop presence as their guarantee against a North Korean attack.
Yes, and that's how it has been since 1953, the Korean War. So we have had troops there ever since and have no plans at this point to get rid of them. You have to basically bring in the Chinese at that point, because the Chinese are the only ones who really have the kind of leverage over North Korea that would be required to get them to get rid of nuclear weapons. And the only reason the Chinese would be willing to do it would be if they did see some possibility of getting the United States off the Korean Peninsula. And then you might begin to really get somewhere. But it's hard for me to believe that with the North Koreans just by themselves, you're actually going to get to that kind of result.
I've seen some critiques from people with experience in the diplomatic community saying, hold on, a big head of state, the head of both countries getting together to talk about complex issues like these, you need a lot of groundwork, you need a lot of lower-level meetings to negotiate about what you're negotiating about. Do you see that happening with the Trump administration in North Korea in the about 2 months since until they're talking about having this meeting?
Yes, well, that's typically what happens. Like when you had summits between American leaders and Soviet leaders during the Cold War or other such sort of high-profile summit meetings, you had a lot of preparation by staff people crafting out agreements that they could sign, things that they could talk about, really negotiating about the agenda. And that is perhaps beginning to happen now, although my guess is that a lot of the people, well, there's two issues. One, a lot of people don't want it to happen at all. And two, the State Department is so hollowed out at this point, they don't even have an ambassador to South Korea. The lead negotiator that we had with North Korea is resigning. A lot of people don't want to serve in this administration, and the State Department is basically being sidelined when it comes to Korean policy. So you don't have that depth of expertise and that sort of staff to work this issue at this point. And Trump is so unpredictable that it's hard to, I mean, you could do that and he could just wander right off the reservation on day one. So it's not clear that it's going to get that kind of preparation that summits typically have in the past.
On potential upside, as you mentioned earlier, we've had past carefully negotiated deals that fell through. Could personal diplomacy like this actually accomplish something different?
Yeah, that is a possibility. And if you look, historically speaking, Reagan and Gorbachev are all often pointed to as two leaders who, somewhat unexpectedly, given Reagan's strong anti-communist leanings to begin with, hit it off, in a sense, and became, if not close friends, at least developed some sort of trust relationship between them. So that is one example, and that, of course, helped end the Cold War, which was enormously consequential. So if Trump and Kim were to hit it off in that way, perhaps you might see something. That was kind of an iterated relationship. It took place over time, right? Reagan met Gorbachev 5 times over the course of his 2 terms in office. It's not clear that that's going to happen here, but I suppose it's possible.
And some people have said, hey, compare this to the Iran deal looks easy compared to what we want to get out of North Korea. How do you compare and contrast those two different nuclear diplomacy efforts?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting case and full of ironies. So the Iran deal stopped a Iranian enrichment program before it led to getting atomic weapons for Iran. And Trump has just excoriated that deal. It was terrible, weak, a disaster, et cetera. Here we've got a country in North Korea that has nuclear weapons. Some people think they've got dozens, maybe even into the low hundreds of nuclear weapons. And it's basically broken every agreement that they've ever signed. And yet Trump is interested in talking to them at this point, and interested potentially in scuppering the Iran deal, which appears to be working and has kept Iran on this side of the nuclear threshold. So, and also, of course, the connection between the two. If the United States scuppers the Iran deal, then what message does that send to Kim about whether we live up to our side of agreements or not? And it may lower the incentive for Kim Jong-un to negotiate with the United States.
As we wrap up, Andrew, what are you going to be watching for in the next few weeks to try to figure out even if this thing is going to happen?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing you're going to see a lot of people on the American side trying to attach preconditions to it, like you saw with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, preconditions that are going to be difficult, if not impossible, for the North Koreans to meet, or simply things that they don't want to meet. And so it may get derailed in that way. Trump may hire some new negotiator who may sort of have some influence on that. That's probably one thing you're going to see. You may even see strange things out of the North Koreans, right? The North Koreans haven't fully confirmed the outline of the proposal that the South Koreans came with. So it's not even clear that the North Koreans have made this offer in exactly the same terms that the South Koreans have represented. So it could come unglued from a number of different angles.
Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That's Andrew Kidd, professor in the Department of Political Science at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about a potential U.S.-North Korea diplomatic meeting.